For the fighter planes, the war began when the first PLAAF crossed over the Amur. There were four Russian fighter interceptors up, and these, just like the invaders, were Sukhoi 27. Those on both sides had been made in the same factories, but the Chinese pilots had tripled the flight time of the defending Russians, who were outnumbered 8-1. Countering that, however, was the fact that the Russian aircraft had support from the USAF E-3B Sentry AWACS aircraft, which was guiding them to the intercept. The Chinese didn't know what was out there. The Russians did. That was a difference. Black Falcon 10, this is Eagle 7. Your targets are now at your 9 o'clock, distance 30 kilometers. Come left now to 180. Coming left, we will try to start the attack Fox 2, he advised. He knew American terminology. That meant launching infrared seekers, which did not require the use of radar, and so did not warn anyone that he was in harm's way. The Marquess of Queensbury had never been a fighter pilot. Roger that. Okay, Falcon 10, recommend you come left again. Targets are now 17 kilometers to your north. You should have tone shortly.
Da, I have tone, the Russian pilot reported when he heard the warble in his headset.
Flight, prepare to fire. Fox 2. Three of the four aircraft loosed a single missile each. The fourth was having trouble with his IR scanner. It took 20 seconds, and two missiles were targeted on the same Chinese aircraft. That one took two hits and exploded. The second died from its single impact, and then things really got confusing. The Chinese fighters scattered in a well-rehearsed maneuver, first into two groups, then into four, each of which had a piece of sky to defend. Everyone's radar came on, and in another 20 seconds, a total of 40 missiles were flying. The radar homing missiles needed a radar signal to guide them, and that meant that the firing fighter could not switch off or turn away, only hope that his bird would kill its target and switch off his radar before his missile got close. Damn, the lieutenant observed in his comfortable controller's seat in the E-3B. Two more Chinese fighters blinked into larger bogeys on his screen, then another, but there were just too many of the Chinese air-to-air missiles. One Russian fighter took three impacts and disintegrated. Statistically, it was a Russian win, four kills for one loss, but the Chinese would claim more. The Russians didn't have enough planes up to do a proper battle. Maybe next time, the colonel thought.
Look! Look there! They're on top of False Bunker 1-6, the gunner said.
Kamenov shifted his glasses. Yes, they were there. Now he had perfect targets for his supporting artillery. He called regiment again to relay his information.
Lieutenant, his colonel answered, the supporting battery has been badly hit. You are on your own.
Yes, comrade colonel. Out. He looked down at his crew. Don't expect supporting fire. The weapons of World War III had just destroyed those of World War I. Post 50 opened up first with its machine gun. Kamenov could see bodies crumpling from the heavy slugs.
Comrade Lieutenant, can we? His gunner asked.
No, not yet, Sergeant. Kamenov didn't want to give away his position yet.
50, this is 56 Alpha. There's a Chinese recoilless setting up at your 2 o'clock, range 800.
Yes, I see it, the sergeant replied.
And he had the good sense to engage it with his machine gun. In 2 seconds, the green tracers reached out and ripped through the gun section.
Well done, Sergeant Ivanov.
Look out, they're moving to your left under terrain cover.
We shall see about that, Comrade Lieutenant.
And the machine gun spoke again. Return fire was coming in now, called in directly on 50. He hoped Ivanov was now under his hatch.
Comrade Lieutenant, his gunner said. The people headed for us are turning away to attack Ivanov. Look!
Kamenov turned around to see. It was an HJ-8 anti-tank missile, and within range of his big DSHKM machine gun. Kamenov stood on his firing stand and yanked back hard on the charging handle, leveling the gun and sighting carefully.
So you want to kill Sergeant Ivanov? His mind asked.
Then he thumbed the trigger lever, and the big gun shook in his hands, and three men fell. He kept firing to make sure he destroyed their rocket launcher. He realized a moment later that the brilliant green tracers had just announced his location. That became clear when the first artillery shells began landing around position 56 Alpha. He only needed one close explosion to drop down and slam his hatch.
Sergeant, fire at will.
Yes, Comrade Lieutenant.
And with that, the sergeant loosed his first high-explosive round at a machine gun crew. The shell hit the gun and vaporized the infantrymen. A total of 100 heavy field guns were now pounding Komonov's immobile platoon. Komonov was in his commander's cupola, seeing to his surprise that his bunker and all the others under his command could not deal with the attackers. His war had lasted 3 hours, and he was fully surrounded, and if he wanted to survive, it would soon be time to leave.
Shit! The gunner screamed. Shit! My gun's damaged!
Komonov looked out of one of his vision slits, and yes, the gun tube was actually bent.
Prepare the post for destruction.
Now? The gunner asked incredulously.
Now, come on, Sergeant, he ordered his gunner,
who took one last long burst before stepping down and heading toward the escape tunnel. Komonov counted off the men as they went, then headed out. He realized he hadn't phoned his intentions to regiment. He'd radio his action from the moving BTR.
You fucking took long enough, a 30-ish sergeant snarled at them.
Come on, he urged, waving them to his BTR-60.
Wait.
Komonov took the twist detonator and attached the wire ends to the terminals. He sheltered behind the concrete abutment that contained the steel door and twisted the handle once. The demolition charge was 10 kilograms of TNT. It and the stored shells created an explosion that roared out of the escape tunnel with a sound like the end of the world. And on the far side of the hill, the heavy turret of the JS-3 tank rocketed skyward to the amazed pleasure of the Chinese infantrymen. And with that, Komonov's job was done. He turned and followed his men to board the 8-wheeled armored personnel carrier. It raced down the hill to the north and safety.
Bugging out, the sergeant told the major, tapping the TV screen, taking the feed from Marilyn Monroe.
This bunch just blew up their gun turret. That's the third one to call it a day.
Surprised they lasted this long, General Wallace said.
When do we get the downlink to Chibarsaville?
Before lunch, sir. We're sending a team down to show them how to use it.
It started, Jack, Secretary of Defense Britano said. I want to release our people to start shooting. We're getting feed from reconnaissance assets. I can cross-link them to you if you want.
Do that,